Radio.
Welcome back to Barracks Talk right here on WDVRDVRadio.net. I'm Bo, we got Oink, and from Bottle Breacher, it's a veteran-owned and operated business in Arizona. They were on Shark Tank. They started out in a one-car garage. He is a former Navy SEAL. We got Eli Crane on with us. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for coming on, taking the time. I know all of our schedules have been really busy lately. It was all I could do to get Oink on today because he had to come on right after work. So, if you don't mind, could you let our listeners know a little bit about your military history and what got you started into the Bottle Breacher business?
Yeah, no problem. So I joined the Navy in September 2001. I tried out for SEAL training in 2002 with Buds Class 242. I did not make it my first time. I went out to the fleet, as we call it, which is just where all the ships are. I was put on the USS Gettysburg, which was a guided missile cruiser for 2.5 years. Then I got the opportunity to come back to SEAL training, and I classed up with Buds Class 256, and I made it through this time. From there, I went to SEAL Team 3. I did 3 deployments there. All 3 of them were to Iraq. And then that was when I, at the end of my last deployment, I made the decision that I was going to get out. But I gave myself about 4 years to make the transition. So I re-enlisted for another 4, and I was able to stay on shore duty the entire time. My first command was at the NSWRD, which stands for Naval Special Warfare Recruiting Directorate, where me and some other guys would go around the country and raise awareness about the SEAL teams to certain young athletes. And then from there, I finished out my career at NSW Group 1 Tradet in the MAROPS, or Maritime Operations Cell, where I specialized in doing VBSS instruction, which is visit board search and seize, or basically how to take down a ship. And so that's where I finished out my career. While I was there, my wife and I started this company, Bottle Breacher, out of the aforementioned one car garage in San Diego. And, you know, we went on Shark Tank right as I was getting out of the Navy. So it worked out really nicely. And, we moved the business from San Diego to Tucson as soon as I got out of the Navy, and we've been here ever since.
You've been a busy, busy boy.
Yeah.
Wow. I want to commend you, one, on your military career. I know a lot of people that have tried out for SEALs or what have you, and they fail that first time and they don't have the heart to go back because they feel like they're going to fail again or whatever. So I commend you for going back and doing what you did, truly.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it, dude.
Wow. That's I don't know what
we
to say.
We were busy.
Yeah, I mean, but so what made you want to do Bottle Breachers? I mean, you're famous for the Bottle Breacher, as in it's a 50 cal shell. They're recycled, correct?
Right.
What made you decide, hey, this would be a great way to open bottles?
Yeah, that's a great question, and we get it a lot. But I didn't actually come up with the 50 cal bottle opener. My little brother was a pilot in the Marine Corps for a long time, and he went on a deployment to the Philippines. And in one of the outdoor markets over there, he bought a 50 cal bottle opener, and he brought it back and gave it to me. I think this was in like 2009 timeframe, and I loved it. And so did all my buddies that came over to my house, and we'd talk, and I'd pull that out of the junk drawer and just open their beers, and they'd freak out like, did you just open that beer with a 50 cal? And I was like, yeah, dude, my brother got me this overseas. And they were like, oh my god, dude, that's awesome, where can I get one? And that was always the same question every time, where can I get one, where can I get one? And right. None of us had seen them, or we would have all had them. And so that was kind of, you know, that was kind of how the idea began. And then I just thought to myself, you know, I can make this better. And fortunately for me, and I know a lot of, you know, entrepreneurs, people that want to be entrepreneurs aren't in this spot. But fortunately for me, my wife, you know, she had a business degree and she also had two successful online startups. They were just really small, like mommy boutiques where she would make stuff and then sell them online. But she already knew how to do that stuff. And so I took this idea to her and I said, babe, I think this could be really big. Like, I don't know if you've been paying attention to the reaction that the guys that come over here, you know, that they have when they see this thing. But I said, if we could take this, make it better, and then figure out how to market it to different groups of, you know, guys, you know, this could be really big. And so thankfully she started helping me on it. She helped me list it on Etsy and it kind of just blew up from there.
Yeah, I mean, I heard about you guys through happenstance years ago. I forgot what I was doing, but somebody was like, dude, I need this. And I was like, why is that not bigger? And then you guys got on Shark Tank and you guys got bigger.
Right. And definitely, definitely got bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it kind of blew me away. We didn't allow ourselves to watch a lot of TV during that time because I was an instructor in the Navy. And I was actually running the VBSS cell out of NSW Group One Trade at right there in San Diego. So that was a really tough job. I mean, we had we usually had about 50 SEALs at one time, one task unit, which is two platoons. Then you had role players, you had a squadron of helicopters, you had SWIC boats, you had Boston Whalers that were the security boats, plus any naval vessels that you were boarding and using. And then you had to control the airspace, you know, over the operation if the SEALs were jumping in and hitting the ship. It was a logistical nightmare, to be honest with you. And my wife and I had two small kids. She still had one of her businesses up and we had Bottle Breacher going. And so I say all that to say we didn't have any time to watch TV, but the one show we would let ourselves watch kind of as a break and just a stress reliever was Shark Tank of all things. And so while we were watching Shark Tank, I remember watching this show and just, I think it's in a lot of our nature. We love to see an underdog. Mm-hmm. You know, or somebody, you know, somebody come from nothing, become something. And so I would get fired up watching the show. And I would always tell my wife, I was like, babe, we could kill it on that show if they would let us on there. And, you know, so, you know, probably about a year and a half after starting the business, I went and I did an open casting call for Shark Tank in San Diego. And we actually got into the selection pipeline that way. And then within a couple months, we were down at Sony Picture Studios in Los Angeles, you know, pitching the product. And we went from 6 employees to, I think, 35 employees within like 2.5 weeks. And it was just a total cluster. But looking back on it, I'm grateful for it because, you know, I think the times in my life where I've learned the most are kind of when I've been thrown into the deep end. And I don't really recommend that to everybody. I think that a gradual, yeah, you know, escalation or progression is probably the most healthy, but, you know, that's definitely not how my life has usually gone.
Yeah, I can attest to that. I mean, I took over DV Radio on a whim because DV6 was about to shut it down. And I was like, look, brother, you got people that are relying on this, you know, to make it one more week or, you know, to stay sober for a weekend just so they can remember it the next week. And he was like, I'll give it another 6 months. We'll see how it goes from there. And I had no clue, yeah, about anything radio, but I've always been, right, into, you know, like the back end of entertainment, i.e. special effects and editing. And I was like, I'll do it. And then around that time, they were really headstrong into DV Farm, and it was founded completely in 2015. They got the land and they started everything then. And there was another thing that was dropped on my plate. I'm helping him learn about a nonprofit, and I'm learning about a nonprofit, and I don't know shit about it. So you're right. Some people cannot handle that. And I think that's the downfall of a lot of businesses. They think they can take all this on, but they don't realize the time and effort you actually have to put into a business.
Right.
If you're just tuning in again, this is Barrett's Talk. We've got Eli Crane from Bottle Breacher. Go check out bottlebreacher.com. Now, you guys are really adamant about veterans and hiring veterans and helping nonprofits, first responders, all types of things like that. How has that affected your business negatively, positively?
You know, I think there's really only a positive side to it, to be honest, just because I've always said if cash is king, having a mission is queen, you know, and right. In business, unfortunately, cash will always be king. You know, you can't run a business unless and keep the lights on and people employed unless you have sales and money coming in. But oftentimes, especially for me, that's like I can't. Like the effort that you just talked about that it takes to run a business and to keep one up and going, I cannot invest that much time unless there's a mission behind it, just because yeah. I'm hardwired for mission. And I think that's why a lot of veterans have an upper hand in many ways when it comes to entrepreneurship, just because we are so driven towards mission. Mm-hmm. And I encourage any veteran that gets into business to figure out a way to incorporate mission into whatever they're doing, just because it'll, when those, you know, when those crazy nights or sleepless nights or, you know, some of those, you know, really stressful times or unknowns hit, you know, if you're not fighting for what you were talking about when you were able to, you know, keep this radio show going because people were counting on it, if you're not fighting for something above just, you know, your bottom line, you're probably not going to make it. And, you know, like for me, money has never been enough to, you know, keep my attention or, you know, keep right. me caring about something. And so that's why for me, I would say it's been all good. And it's been, even though I took off the uniform, and a lot of us end up taking off the uniform, I found that you don't have to quit serving. Mm-hmm. It's just in a different capacity, you know? And, I mean, just yesterday alone, I was, you know, I was talking with three different nonprofits about, you know, events that they're doing in the future coming up this year. And sometimes it does get a little overwhelming trying to remember, you know, what you've promised to who and where you're going to be. And, but at the end of the day, like I said, it is rewarding being able to, you know, help these folks that are out there, you know, helping those that have, served and done it in the way that they did it. So it's been a blessing for us.
You're definitely right on every avenue there. I mean, Oink can tell you, anybody at DV Radio can tell you, we make shit all with radio. I mean, I've put over 12 grand into it in the last 6 years. And, you know, I know we preach that a lot, but my paycheck is knowing that somebody did not join the 22. Someone got a resource to help them and their family, or they're more educated right. on something military that, you know, I know we all joke, we're veterans. We have a horrible sense of humor when it comes to dark.
Right.
But a lot of these civilians that do listen to us, they're more educated as to why we think the way we do or why we act the way we do. And like you said, I think that's why a lot of veteran businesses, I don't want to say flourish, but they have a running start when it comes to businesses. K-Bar Soap Co., right. we've been with them since the beginning. He has fucking taken his business and just ran with it, and it's beautiful. Objective Zero, we were there when they were nothing but a Kickstarter. Absolutely amazing what they've done so far, and the VA is working with them now. I mean, the list goes on, and I pride myself on being able to be there and back these companies, you know, because they, like you said, every veteran needs a mission after they get out of service, whether, you know, right. you were in a theater or not, all of us need a mission, because for whatever reason, when most of us get out after that 6 month stalemate, you know, for whatever reason, you feel like you don't have a purpose. And then that's when all the demons come back, you know, full force.
Yeah.
What is something that you've learned as far as being a veteran-owned business and being on national, well, I guess it would be worldwide television now. What did you take away from that? How did that change your mindset, or did it at all?
You know, I think there's a lot that goes into that question, and I could answer it in a bunch of different ways depending on what perspective we were looking at it.
Right.
But if I had to just go, you know, off the hip, I mean, I learned a little bit about reality TV that I didn't really understand. And though a lot of the stuff you see on Shark Tank in particular is pretty true and accurate, there are things that you as the consumer see that don't actually take place, or you see like a snapshot of it. So for instance, my wife and I were in the Shark Tank for an hour and 20 minutes, and Jesus. The viewer only sees like 8 or 9 minutes of it, right? And something, you know, happened in that show that was broadcast that didn't happen while we were in there. They just, you know, it was probably from somebody else's, you know, pitch where they just kind of cut, you know, cut a piece of content and then spliced it into ours. And so it's just one of those things where you kind of learn how it works, and you know that going into it, 'cause you sign paperwork saying, I get it, I'm okay with it. You know, they can kind of make this look any way they want it, mm-hmm. you know? So that was helpful for me to understand that a lot of the stuff that I'm watching on television, you know, may not be completely accurate. You know, but then there's also, for me, it was hard because I don't want to say hard, but for me as a SEAL, a special operator, then to go on national television and talk about that, that was something I really weighed out and had to think about, and how I was going to do it, if I was even going to do it. Because if you know, that can go really, really badly for a guy like me. I mean, you could really upset your community and a lot of people that you care deeply about. And so, you know, I really, you know, thought and, you know, how I was going to do that, if I was going to do it, and how I wanted to do it. And I wanted to make sure that, you know, I did it in a very humble way, because I've got a lot of reasons to be humble, you know, and thankfully I didn't get a lot of backlash that I've seen some guys get,
right.
you know, for coming out publicly. And I think a lot of that was attributed to just being humble and not trying to project yourself as Leonidas reincarnated on national TV, which would be, for me, for anybody that knows me, would have been absolutely, you know, a complete fabrication. Anyway, I'm a really normal guy in many ways, you know, probably even subpar in a lot of ways. So, I just, you know, I've always had, you know, if I want something, you know, I'll go to deeper levels than a lot of people will. And that's what kind of separates the men from the boys in that program anyway. So, but if you and me were to go out right now and, you know, deadlift, I'd probably tell you, no, I don't want to throw my back out. Or if you were like, hey, let's go on a 3 mile timed run, I bet you'd probably smoke me. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I think a lot of it is just like, you know, being humble, and trying to present yourself in that way. That was something that I really had to, you know, weigh heavily before going on national television.
Go ahead, Oink.
I was just going to say, you know, one of the things I was looking over, was the article that the military.com did on you, the 5 tips, in your own words, for somebody that was looking to do something like you did. Could you maybe elaborate on some of those? Because there's two of them in there that really stood out to me. Was obviously building the team and, you know, like we've done in the military, you know, surround yourself with those people that are going to help you succeed. And the other one that out of the five was like what we're trying to do here, which is building that community service or giving back. But, you know, like I said, it's just something that those two stood out for me for some odd reason, you know, the teamwork. And then of course, you know, the giving back, you know, through veteran organizations or something like this that we're doing on the V Radio tour. We're trying to bring light to, you know, veteran businesses and nonprofits and what have you. But like, again, right. In your own words, is what would you tell somebody that's trying to start up a business of their own?
Yeah, no, and I appreciate that. And as you were talking about, I was like, oh, Eli, trying to remember the five things that you wrote about. Because I've written a lot in the last couple of years, and sometimes I forget all the things. But yeah, I think as far as the teamwork, you know, and building that team, it's so important. And it's one of the things I see a lot of entrepreneurs screw up. It's so hard as an entrepreneur, you know, to hand over, you know, assignments or delegate taskings that you're afraid might not get done well if you don't do them yourself. And there is something to that, because nobody's ever going to care about your business as much as you will, you know, and it's not their name on it, it's your name on it. And so there's that dichotomy there. But, you know, the fact of the matter is, if you don't build a team, you know, inevitably do is you'll end up building nothing, mm-hmm. you know. And it's like, because you only have so many hours in the day, you only have so much intelligence or experience. And that was one thing I understood that really translated from the SEAL teams. I mean, you all, like, you know, my specialty in the SEAL teams when I got out was I was a sniper, right? But you give me a radio and say, Eli, I need you to, you know, I need you to get us out of here. And good luck, boys. We're in big trouble, because I might be able to make comms. I might not, you know, because that wasn't something I was good at. The same for breaching, the same for, you know, hey, man, how do you fix the transmission on this RG33 truck? Or, you know, how do you do this or that? And there was, what I'm getting at is, you know, we all have strengths and weaknesses. Most of us have a lot more weaknesses than we have strengths. And if you don't understand that, and you don't surround yourself with smarter, more talented people that complement your strengths and abilities, you'll, like I said, you'll never build anything. And the same goes with, like, you can apply the same thing. I like to tell people that are getting into business that one of the hardest things about it is capital, because most of us don't have come from a, you know, we're not trust fund babies, and we don't have somebody that's just looking to throw $150,000 at us, you know, to see if our idea will be marketable. And, you know, one of the things that you can do is, you know, as you bring on this team and try and build this team out, is you can offer equity in your company to people. If you don't have money, you can offer equity to people to come on and, hey, I'll give you 10% equity in this business. If you do marketing, you handle the marketing piece. And, hey, I'll give you, you know, 10-15% of this business if you, you know, do our accounting, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm not suggesting that you do that. That's just a way to think outside the box. But what I see happen a lot of time is, you know, because people are afraid to bring people on and build that team, because they may have trust issues or they're afraid to delegate, what they end up owning is 100% of nothing. And I think that's one of the things I might have wrote about it in that article, but it's something that I would, a piece of advice that I would give to anybody who's looking to start up a business, for sure. And then, you know, some of the other things that I like to tell people that are looking to become entrepreneurs is, if you're going to compete with people who are already established, who already have assets, who already have a website with products up on there, you have to be unconventional. You know, you can't try and beat them at their own game, mm-hmm. You know, or they're going to crush you. And that was one of the things that was really helpful for me, coming from an unconventional warfare community, where I understood that, I saw it every day, you know, and then translating that into business, like, okay, if they're doing it this way, how can we compete with them and just, you know, change up the ingredients or flip the script and do it differently? And you know, I think that, you know, like just today, me and one of my guys were brainstorming, you know, how to make a product, and him and I were both throwing ideas back and forth at each other, and we were trying to one up each other with, you know, the research that we had done. And then I think he got the best of me this morning. But, you know, the bottom line is like, you know, being able to think outside the box and being humble enough to bring, like I said, bring in smarter people that will challenge you and say, hey, that's maybe not the best idea. I think we could, you know, shave off, you know, some of the cost of that product if we switch that design around a little bit. And so I think those are a couple things right there. And I already talked about the mission part of, you know, starting a business. I think that that's really important. Obviously, it's not going to be important for everybody. Some people just want to run a business and, you know, it's all about profit, loss, and balance sheets. And I get that. But for me, you know, you have to know yourself, and you have to know what motivates you. And, you know, I think that's situational awareness and just, you know, understanding yourself. And for me, if I don't have something driving me, like mission, then I will not put the effort into it.
Yeah. And I think the one thing you did touch on in that article too, is something about, you know, you're going to have all those adversities and you're going to hear countless no's, you know, that you basically have to give yourself the freedom to fail. And if you're not willing to take that failure and learn from it, obviously, you, like you said, you're going nowhere. So I think you touched on quite a few things, great things that was in that article. But I think they even have a link on your website, right? Or at least links to that article I read anyway.
Yeah, I think we do. I think we have links to several things on on the website.
But. Now, being that you and your wife do a lot of this, are you able to separate business from personal life when you leave Bottle Breacher at the end of the day?
Yeah, that's the most loaded question I'm going to get today, I guarantee it. That's actually been probably been the biggest challenge, mm-hmm. You know, in running this business with her, because, like, you know, I 100%, you know, I need her. Like, I mean, and it just goes back to being humble and realizing, you know, how many weaknesses you have and that you need to build that team or you won't build anything. And, you know, my wife, even though she's 180% opposite of me, you know, her strengths actually really complement mine and vice versa. And so,
right.
But because we were, you know, because we were married, I mean, and I was, you know, we got married while I was in the military, right? You know, right before I graduated as a SEAL. So she was with me the entire time I was in the SEAL teams. And that, first of all, that's actually really rare for you still to be with your spouse.
Exactly. I think
we have like a 95% divorce rate. But the fact that she was with me that whole time, and to be honest, because I was gone like 270 days out of the year, we barely knew how to live together, let alone run a business together. So I say all that to say it was extremely stressful and hard on our relationship, you know, getting out, transitioning, trying to raise little kids, run a couple businesses and own a business together. And that was one of our biggest challenges, was learning when to, you know, when to turn it off, when it was okay to talk about, you know, having some boundaries, and also learning to stay, what we call stay in our swim lanes, where, you know, hey, like, I don't micromanage what you're doing over here. Don't micromanage what I'm doing over here, etc. And, you know, it, like I said, it was brutal, but we figured out how to, you know, how to do it. And I'm not saying we have the best system, but, mm-hmm. I actually think in many ways it's made us stronger, just because we have a lot more respect and trust for each other.
Oh, I'm over here chuckling because me and my wife were both active duty and we both had the same job. So to hear that, it's kind of like flipping a switch for me, because I completely understand work was work and home was home. And sometimes you can intermingle the two, but you didn't do it all the time, because if you did, right, life was hell. Yep. So I kind of feel where you're coming from.
Right. Yep. And I brought that up because, you know, a lot of people ask how DV6 and Google do it, because they literally live at the farm. They have their house and then they have the debt house. And I think a lot of marriages have failed because they don't know how to separate the two when they need to, and they bring it in, right, when they shouldn't. And I wanted to ask that because you, I don't know when it was written on your website, bottlebreacher.com, our story, but you guys have been married over 14 years and she's been through some of the toughest shit that she could possibly imagine. And she's still there with you.
Right.
And I have to commend her on that, number one, because I don't know too many males or female spouses that would, you know, stick behind somebody for that long through all of that. I don't want to call it bullshit, but it's the ups and downs that us as prior military have. You're going to have it. I don't care what your job was. You're going to have those ups and downs. And the fact that she's stood beside you that long, you've dealt with her bullshit, she's dealt with your bullshit, and you still are able to co-mingle and be happy and keep shit going. I mean, I had sent you a DM. Obviously, I know you guys are busy as we are. And I was like, I'm probably not going to hear back from him. So I emailed you guys, and she had DM'd me through your Twitter account. And it was funny because she got to saying that she is the one who is basically your secretary and takes care of all your scheduling on. I was like, that's DV6 and Google. And then I'm over here trying to make sure they're doing it right. Like, yep. So I completely understand it.
100%. And that's an area where she's really strong and, you know, I'm not. And so it's just, like I said, it's, you know, it's like, it's dynamic. And it's one of those things where, hey, you're strong over here. You take these three things. I'm strong over here. I'll take these couple things. And then we got to bring in somebody to do this over here. And, you know, and thankfully we have a pretty good crew at Bottle Breacher. And if we didn't, like I said, we would own 100% of nothing.
I completely get everything that you say. I love how you went into how a not just a veteran, but anybody should, you know, look at, you know, starting a business and the considerations to take into account. This is being recorded the week of the 13th, but tomorrow, as this is playing on Barrett's Talk, February 14th is Valentine's Day. You guys have anything over at Bottle Breacher that people might want to get their loved ones or as a joke gift or anything like that for somebody?
Yeah, we always have some cool Bottle Breacher Valentine's Day gifts. I think the most popular one right now is a keychain on Etsy that's going crazy. It just goes to show like how important like good marketing can be sometimes. Like we have these keychains. They're 7-6-2 keychains. When you put them together, the bottle openers look like a heart. And chicks just love this picture, right?
Wow.
And so, and then they get them and they're like, oh, sweetheart, if I have one, you have one. It's like we have the heart together. And it's kind of cool. You know, it's kind of cool that it worked out that way. But yeah, we're selling a ton of those right now. We also have some Freedom Frags. That's the grenade that opened your beer. And one of the logos you can get on there says, I love you more than you love beer. You know, that's a hit right now. The regular 50 cals that you can personalize for people are always a hit. Those are the top ones right now that I'm seeing, perform for Valentine's Day. So the cool thing about them is like, we have a stable of laser engravers. So, you know, if you have a special date, you know, a wedding anniversary or a nickname for, you know, your spouse or whatever, your boyfriend or your girlfriend or whatever, that you want put on there, we can personalize anything. And that's what, you know, that's one of the things that people love about our products is you can personalize most of them.
Yeah. I was getting ready to bring that up. That's one thing I found unique about your line of products is basically everything is customizable. What made you guys want to do that? Was that something you wanted to do from the start? Was that something you implemented later?
Yeah, it honestly, it wasn't something that when I started this, I was necessarily thinking about, but so it was interesting. I was watching an episode of Shark Tank, and Kevin O'Leary, AKA Mr. Wonderful, who's now a 10% owner in Bottle Breacher, he was ripping apart an entrepreneur on Shark Tank because in an episode that Jen and I were watching prior to even pitching to go on the show, and we were sitting there watching, and he was like ripping this entrepreneur up who actually was doing a good job in sales. He had a pretty cool product that was hot at the time, but Kevin was ripping him up because as soon as he took a sample of the product out of the guy's packaging right there on the set, he realized that there was no branding on the actual product itself. And so he was saying to the guy, he's like, so you mean to tell me that you have competitors out there in this space, and if I pull this product out of the package, I don't know, I can't tell any difference from your product to their product, because they probably all had them made in, offshore in China somewhere right. Overseas. And the guy's like, yeah, that's correct. And Kevin said, you know, that's one of the biggest mistakes you can make as an entrepreneur, because he said, you may be selling units of these things, but what you should be doing is selling units of these things, but building a brand at the same time. Right. So if you want to segue from this product to something else, your customer, your consumer, you know, might show a little bit of brand loyalty and come back and buy the next thing. Like you're seeing right now with MyPillow, Mike Lindell, right? He sells these pillows and now he's got these MyPillow sheets. And then after that, he's going to come out with the curtains or whatever it is. But people become loyal to brands just like you and I do. And if there's no brand on the actual product, you know, when the thing's being passed around or looked at, you know, even on this guy in particular, his product was like a neon green suit that you would wear to like a football game or a ski slope or something to stand out. Not something that I would ever buy, but he had like 300,000 in sales annually. So he was doing well for himself. And Kevin's like, you want people to see the brand of that thing, just like you can see on Oakley, you know, sunglasses or, you know, an Arc'teryx jacket or something like that, so that they can go look it up when they get home. And so anyway, real long story, I'm circling back now. I looked at Jen after this episode and I said, babe, we got to figure out how to get Bottle Breacher on each one of these 50 cal bottle openers leaving the garage. And so I started doing some research and I stumbled across Laser Engravers. And within like a month or two, I'd found a used one about 2 hours from my house up in Los Angeles. And I drove up there to see it. I got a demo on how the thing worked. And I ended up selling my motorcycle to buy the thing. And within a month and a half, our sales went from $7,500 a month to, I think it was like $22,000. Wow. Within a month and a half. And the reason, it wasn't because we were able to put the brand on the product. The reason was, is because not only were we now putting the brand on the product, the Bottle Breacher brand, but we were now laser engraving names on the back, and we started doing groomsmen gifts. And when we started doing that, the floodgates just opened. And, you know, from there, we've just continued to see, you know, the value in that, you know, because what we really have is we run a gift giving website, to be honest mm-hmm. with you. People just come there if they want a gift for a friend, a birthday, groomsmen gifts, whatever. And so if you have the ability to personalize, you can just take something that's already pretty cool and make, you know, put that extra touch on it.
Definitely. And that's one of the things I wanted to ask you about. Giving Breachers is a tab on your website. You have Vets for Child Rescue, Navy SEAL Foundation, and a few others. 100% of the proceeds goes to these nonprofits and organizations. How has the support been for that as far as people buying these items and then you being able to return that as a way to give back?
You know, it's like I said, it's always really cool. Like when I'll go walk through the shop in the morning and I'll see, you know, Craig Sawyer, he's a former SEAL, a friend of mm-hmm. mine here in Tucson. He runs V4CR, Vets for Child Rescue. When I see one of his Freedom Frags, you know, being you know, polished up and packaged up. Not only do I know that somebody money is going to go back to that organization, but it also, from a branding standpoint, it makes me proud because I know that that beautiful piece of work is going to sit on somebody's mantle, somebody's desk, and then other people are going to ask, "Hey, what is that? What is V4CR?" And then, yep, you know, whoever bought it will be able to, "Oh, this is this, you know, group of veterans that, you know, they've dedicated a large portion of their life to, you know, putting a dent in child sex trafficking."
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, even whether, you know, whether I get to, because obviously I don't control what people buy, and mm-hmm, you know, I can't make anybody buy anything. For me, it's just like I said, it's the posture of being mission oriented, and I can't do it all the time, but a couple times a year when, you know, an organization, you know, comes across our radar and we have the time and the ability to partner up with them, you know, and just trying to make the world a better place and to make this life that I have count, that's what it means to me. So even though these organizations, they are, if we've partnered with them, they are special. And yep, I could give a story about each individual one and how I've seen them work, or something they've done for me while I was in the service, or a friend, or somebody that got killed overseas, and like the Navy SEAL Foundation, and flew like, you know, 80 members of SEAL Team 3 back to Annapolis for Pat Feek's graduation because we couldn't get enough of us on a regular commercial flight or something like that. To me, it's more about the overall posture of, hey, a lot of people talk about it. A lot of people talk about doing something cool. Man, why doesn't somebody do something about that? And, you know, when you actually get to do something about it and say, yeah, we'll dedicate the time and the resources, and, you know, we'll use this asset and this platform that we have to try and drive, you know, people and eyeballs to your website, and maybe, you know, send you a check quarterly that can help with, you know, some of the little stuff that you're doing, you know, that's what it's all about for me.
And I love that. And that was one of the things that I told Oink and the rest of the DV radio crew. I was like, they're doing exactly what we're doing with DV against DV, dysfunctional veterans against domestic violence. And we give to Vets for Child Rescue, our underground railroad, all those through that. And like I said, I just want to commend you being able to do that, for one, and number two, being the humble man that you are and giving back to these nonprofits and organizations. Oink, do you have anything you want to say to Eli? Because we're running out of time for him and I don't want to keep him too much longer.
Yeah, well, besides, you know, obviously the tremendous veteran support that we obviously see on the page, something else that I just want to say thank you for is for all the first responders out there, mm-hmm, you know, the Leos, the fire department, you know, the nurses even, you know, to have these frontline workers, especially in this crazy ass time, to have something that you could either purchase for them as a gift or just something to put on their mantle. And or like you said, even that, you know, crack a beer open with one of their firefighter buddies, you know, and bring over the conversation of, man, where'd you get that? You know, I think that's, yeah, a tremendous thing, because again, that's built that teamwork, and to have you guys, you know, even, I don't know if you even recognized it, but to have that there for these folks as well, again, thanks, because it's I think they need it during this time as well.
Well, you know what, dude, I appreciate that, brother. I really do. And I'll take that one a step further, because that is near and dear to me. And I don't want to get like really political on your show or anything like that, but
you're completely fine. Trust me, they don't care.
I actually took that one a step further, and I was given the opportunity early this, or I think during the summertime of 2020. I think I was asked to make a video for either Dinesh D'Souza or Dan Bongino about what I saw going on with the defund the police movement. And it was awesome, man. I got a chance to talk to, you know, these knuckleheads running around, you know, causing chaos in the streets, and, you know, even a message to the American people about how we got to back the police. And, you know, anytime I get to make a video for one of those guys, just because of the size of their platform, you know, it damn near goes viral. But You know, that's a blessing for me. And in that way, I know I'm different than a lot of entrepreneurs, because a lot of entrepreneurs won't touch.
Yep.
They won't touch anything that is politically flammable. And for me, I say, you know what, dude, if I was willing to, you know, sign a contract, put my life on the line too many times to count for this country, and I see this country imploding within, and I see that type of stuff going down, I'm going to say something about it. And I'm going to continue to fight for this country, whether people think it's popular or not, whether a business school would teach that that's a good idea or not, because I love this country more than I love my business. And, you know, a lot of the stuff that I see going on, especially now, really, you know, makes me really disappointed and upset. And so, and that goes back to what I'm telling young entrepreneurs. You might not agree with me speaking out on things like that. And in many ways, I put my company in jeopardy. Like we were kicked off of Twitter last year, you know, for just being who we are. But it goes back to what I'm saying. If you're not about anything, if you don't stand for anything, let me tell you something. The dollars and the balance sheet and the profit loss and that fancy car that you bought, it's not at the end of your life. When you look back on the legacy you left, you will not, I guarantee you'll look back and you'll be like, I wish I would have stood on principle. I wish I would have stood for something bigger than my own pleasure and my own comfort, because we only get one life. And that's something I want to talk to anybody that's listening on this show, you know, regardless of which side of the aisle you're on, you know, get outside your comfort zone. Yeah, it's scary sometimes, but stand for something.
Definitely. And I've had businesses and organizations in the past say, you say fuck too much, or you're too political, or we just can't work with you at this time. And I'm like, so because of our views, you don't want to work with us. It's not that, you know, our mission is the 22 a day at the end of the day. It's the fact that what we say hurts your feelings. And those people really disappoint me. I mean, we've seen it with actors. They apologize for something they said 15 years ago because of a sponsor. It's like, you know what? Go fuck yourself. If you're that low, I don't want to work with you, honestly.
I hear you 100%, man. And at some point, everybody's got to, like, you've got to make an assessment of who's who in the zoo, who stands for what. And in my opinion, too many people are like cultural politicians. They try to play the middle of the road, and it's like, that whole saying is true, man. You can please all the people some of the time, some of the people all the time, but you can't please all the people all the time. So if you're not standing on what you believe in and what you believe is right, in my opinion, you're kind of a coward. And that doesn't mean you can't turn it around, but you need to pull your head out, and you need to stand for what you believe in.
Definitely. Amen. Definitely. Eli, is there anything else you'd like to say about Bottle Breacher or just to our listeners?
No, you know, I think that it sounds like a lot of your listeners are vets. And so, you know, I talked a little bit about, hey, if you're thinking about starting a business, you know, this is, you know, these are some things that you can think about. But, you know, I also want to talk to, you know, some of the vets that listen to your show just about accountability, ownership, and responsibility, because, you know, I guarantee there's a lot of dudes that, soldiers and, you know, airmen and sailors that came out of the Vietnam era and just would have killed to, you know, live in the time that we do with, just the respect and the support that a lot of the public has shown for us. And I just want to see us do a better job of stepping up and actually taking ownership of our lives and what we stand for, and continuing to improve and better ourselves, and to, you know, give the veteran community a good name, and just to lift one another up, and, you know, and to be part of the solution and not part of the problem. And you know, accountability has always been a big deal for me, and it's a big deal in my own life when I'm slacking off, when I'm not doing what I know I'm supposed to be doing, like it affects me. And I think that we live in a time where, you know, in ways, you know, sometimes as veterans, we need a little tough love. We need people sometimes to tell us, hey, get your act together, man. You know, you get back in this fight and be part of the solution. Put yourself in a position where you can be the guy that your friends are calling when they're struggling. Right. And I, that's all I want to say, man, because I think that accountability, you know, needs to be something that we pride ourselves in and we take with us long after we get out of the military.
Definitely. And I've said on the show before, and we've actually had a few guests that we went into depth with it. A lot of it starts with leadership, and whether you were an actual NCO or not, sometimes you need to take that leadership role and check in on your battle buddy or your brother and sister and just be like, hey, everything going all right? You doing good? It doesn't matter if it's every day or once a week. And I appreciate that, because not many people say that and actually mean it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's Eli Crane with Bottle Breacher, bottlebreacher.com. You can find them on Facebook, Twitter, all the other places. just look for Bottle Breacher. We have, as much as possible, retweet and share their stuff. I love everything that they put out. I don't own anything yet because 2020 hit us and fuck it. Thank you so much for coming on.
Continued in the past.
Exactly. Well, exactly.
We'll have to take care of that, man. I'll have our team send you guys something.
Oh, you're too awesome. Seriously. I want to thank you for taking the time out of your busy, busy schedule, because I know it's busy, for coming on and speaking with us. Oink, any last words?
No, I once again, just thanks for what you're doing, not only for, like I said, the veteran community, but the first responder community as well. I think it's awesome, man.
All right. Hey, guys, I appreciate the opportunity. God bless you guys, and I hope that 2021 is a great year for you guys.
Right. You take care, brother. You have a great rest of your day.
Later. DDDV Radio.